Good morning and welcome to the Parsha Blueprint on Parshas Chukas. So I'm pretty sure we all know how many years Klal Yisrael traveled through the Midbar, 40 years. And what do you think they felt like in year number 38? The Pasuk tells us, Parak Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, Atiktzar Nefesh Ha'am Baderech. The nation was totally worn out on the way, explains Rashi. The traveling was hard for them as it was, and now in the 38th year, just as they were finally getting closer to entering Eretz Yisrael, they were being instructed to travel in the opposite direction towards the Yamsuf. Edom wouldn't let them pass through their land, and they were forced to take a much longer alternate route. So they said, what? We're backtracking? They couldn't accept it. The traveling had become intolerable, and that's what Kotzer Nefesh means. It means like it's a burden that's just too heavy to carry any longer. So what happens when a person is in such a state? Understandably, he complains. As we know, there are acceptable ways to ask for change and unacceptable ways. Which way did they choose? Let's see. Pasuk, they said to Moshe and Hashem as well, why did you bring us up from Mitzrayim to perish in the Midbar? There is no bread or water, and we are disgusted with this lechem haklokel. Rashi says they refer to the man as lechem haklokel, because it would get completely and fully absorbed in their bodies. They never needed to relieve themselves, and they worried that maybe one day it would swell up their insides. Of course, the man was a miraculous food and was only good, but when you're at the end of your rope, nothing is good. The Aruch Chaim says here that normally when a person travels, they need to eat filling food, which takes a while to digest, because traveling uses up energy. Now, the man nourished their bodies perfectly, but technically, their stomachs were empty, and so they felt worn out. And what did they mean they didn't have water? They had the Bar Miriam, and there were times Moshe Rabbeinu got water for them out of a rock, literally. But it seems that they meant that since a Midbar doesn't have natural access to water, it still caused some hardship for them. Now, Hashem's response to this new uprising was immediate. Pasuk Vav, Hashem sent venomous snakes, which bit them. One fatal bite poisoned their insides, and many, many died. Well, there was a pretty clear connection here between the cause and effect. In Pasuk Zayin, they came back to Moshe saying, Chatanu, we sinned, ki dibarnu b'Hashem ubach, because we spoke against Hashem and against you. Hispalal al Hashem, daven to Hashem, v'yaser me'aleinu es hanachash, and he will remove these snakes from upon us. So they admitted clearly, we sinned because we spoke against you and against Hashem. Now, interestingly, the Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuva, Perek Beis, that when a person brings 10 men to someone's kever in order to ask mechila from the nifter, this is actually the correct nasach. Chatasi la'Hashem u'leploni, I sinned against Hashem and against this person. Asisi kach v'kach, and this is what I did. So they were essentially asking Moshe for mechila the proper way, and Moshe forgives them immediately. Now let's take a moment to understand that Moshe was blamed and complained to so many times by now. He could have answered something like, how about you daven for yourselves? Or maybe even, you tested Hashem again, this is what happens. Moshe not only does not say anything like that at all, the very next words in the pasuk are, Vayispal Moshe v'ad ha'am, and Moshe davened for the nation. What greatness! And Rashi says something here on these words that is amazing. Mikan, from here we learn, Lemisha mevaksha mimenu mechila, to the person from whom someone is asking forgiveness, shelo yehe achzori milamchol, that he should not be cruel, meaning and not forgive him. Now notice it says it's cruel not to forgive someone who's asking you for mechila. That means to forgive someone who did not ask you is not cruel. It's important to differentiate. One is what you should do, forgive someone who asks you for forgiveness, and one is an extra high level because you weren't actually asked. Of course, we all know many stories of people who forgave beyond what was required and saw tremendous bracha. Rav Ehrenfeld said in a shiur I heard recently that in Tehillim it says, Hashem tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow. If you are a mochel v'soleach, if you forgive others, he forgives you. And I heard a story from Rabbi Zev Smith back in 2012 that I never forgot. A man in Eretz Yisrael owed 1,000 shekel to the local makolet, the grocery store. And one day the owner said, I'm sorry, I can't extend any more credit. I can't let you keep putting food on that kit until you pay the 1,000 shekel. The man said, of course, I understand. And he got to work pulling it together from here and there and everywhere. Finally, he goes back to the owner very happily. Baruch Hashem, I have the full 1,000 shekel to pay my bill. The man turns to the page in his notebook where this fellow's cheshbon is, and he looks up and he says, "You don't have a bill here anymore. It's been paid in full." The man was, of course, in shock. Who could possibly have paid his bill? Well, no one seemed to know who paid it, but it was clear that his balance was zero. Hodu Lashem. And he even now had 1,000 shekel to stock up on food for his family. And then Rabbi Smith said, "This is how it works in Shemayim. We will arrive after 120, petrified, to hear about the many mistakes we made that we need to get punished for. And the Malach will look up and say, 'Clean slate. You've been forgiven for everything.' And we'll be so surprised. But the Malach will explain, 'You were a mochel v'soleach. You forgave those who wronged you, and Hashem has forgiven you.'" So I'm listening to this shir in 2012, and tears are rolling down my face. Why? Because I had been deeply hurt by an experience I had. And although several years had passed, the wound was still fresh, and I wasn't really talking to certain people anymore. As soon as my kids got home from school that day, I asked them to call up each of those people and invite them to an impromptu Tu B'Shvat party. Tu B'Shvat was either the next day or the day after that. I figured if the people would feel uncomfortable saying no to this random invitation out of nowhere, it would be easier saying no to a little kid than to me. Do you know that every single person said yes, they would join us? That Tu B'Shvat gathering was so beautiful and special. I can still feel the warmth that permeated my home that day, even now. Fast forward a couple of years, my very first grandchild was born on Tu B'Shvat. I have no way to prove that one has to do with the other, but I think it might be connected. Forgiveness only brings bracha. And you know what I just noticed in Tehillim a few days ago? In Perek Nun Aleph Pasuk Tes, David HaMelech asks Hashem to forgive him fully and completely. He says, "Techateinu be'ezu ve'etar, techapseinu mishal galbin." These are just words that mean, "Please forgive me and cleanse me completely." And then the next pasuk, Pasuk Yud, says, "Tashmieni sason v'simcha." Let me hear the sounds of simcha. So it sounds like not only the one who forgives is zocha to simcha, but the one who receives forgiveness is now zocha to simcha. Maybe you unblock something for him too. Now let's return to the point where the Yidden are complaining to Moshe. It wasn't that they were complaining that got them in trouble. It was how they were complaining. Rav Shaul Vakshal says in his book, Derech Eretz, there is a chazal that says, "La'olam yehei adam rach kakane, la'al yehei kosha ke'erez." A person always should be soft as a reed, not hard as a cedar tree. Meaning, a person should speak gently even when feeling agitated or irritable. It's extremely difficult, but it's how we should strive to be. As they say, if you reach for the moon, you might at least touch the stars. And here's a practical lesson for us. If we want the best response from the person we're complaining to, we need to make sure we're not talking in a way that makes the other person shut down. Imagine your kids were each given jobs to do, and one kid thinks she got a harder job than her sister, right? So she could scream, "You always give me the worst jobs. You hate me." Or she can say, "Is it possible for me to get an easier job? This job is really hard for me." You see the difference? Now, none of us is a malach like Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So which complaint is easier for a parent of flesh and blood to deal with? The first one will likely annoy the parents somewhat. "Excuse me? The worst job? I do this job every day. And why would you say I hate you? I just bought you the most expensive scooter in the store," right? Another example. You're talking to customer service and the person is repeating themselves like a broken record. "I understand that this is very inconvenient for you. I am so sorry that I cannot help you," right? And that's after you were on hold for 37 minutes. You can shout, "Is this your first day or something? You don't seem to understand a word I'm saying." Or you can calmly say, "I know that the issue is not your fault, but what you've told me doesn't solve my problem. Is there anything else we can try here?" Again, it's in our own best interest, even when frustrated, to talk in a respectful manner. In Pirkei Avos, we learn, "Divrei chachamim benachas nishman." The words of the wise, spoken pleasantly, are heard. If we want to be listened to, we have to think about how best to convey our message. It's not easy when a person is worked up, but it's worth it. Regarding Moshe Rabbeinu's response, if you notice, he didn't respond. Hashem responded. Probably because, as Chazal say, "Ein mefaisin adam b'shas ka'aso." Don't try to appease someone in the moment of their anger. It doesn't work. It usually just makes them more upset because it's too early. But I want to really return our focus to Vayispal Moshe. Even if he was mechayev to forgive them, as Rashi teaches us, davening for someone who wronged you is even more than just saying, "I forgive you." It means you really did forgive them. Now, I don't know about you, but most of the time, the people who ask me for forgiveness before Yom Kippur are friends who never did anything wrong to me in the first place. So what's with people who should be asking and don't? I want to share something I learned from raising my children and from life in general. Not everyone says sorry the same way. One kid will write a heart-wrenching apology note and put it on your pillow. Another kid will surprise you and clean up the whole kitchen while you're in the grocery store, and that's his I'm sorry. Siblings, friends, one sibling or friend will call and say, "I'm sorry for anything I did this year or in past years that might have hurt you." Another sibling or friend might send a beautiful fruit platter before Rosh Hashanah. That's their I'm sorry. Apologizing is easy for some of us, but it's torture for others. So sometimes we have to accept the other person's brand of saying I'm sorry. And what about the people who don't do anything towards apologizing or asking for mechila? If they have any hardship in their lives, can we at least feel compassion for them? They're suffering. Maybe we can daven for them to have a Yeshua Bekarov, even if it's too difficult for them to ask us for forgiveness. Or maybe they ask this, but only because they're suffering and they're scared, like the Yidden in the Midbar with the snakes. Sometimes fear straightens out people's thinking. Moshe Rabbeinu, the humblest leader who ever lived, rose above the Nisayon to hold their disrespect against them. He felt compassion and he davened sincerely for them. So what is the practical takeaway for me, a little old lady living in Chicago? I thought about it and I decided to choose one person who has wronged me and not ask for mechila and daven for that person sincerely just this week by the Shabbos candles. One time, I will ask Hashem to send that person whatever that person might be davening for. After all, if the Parsha is my blueprint, that means I want to live my life by the lessons the Parsha teaches me, right? I'm not telling anyone else what to do, but feel free to do the same if you wish. And I want to wish you the best Shabbos ever and see you Monday. Mirza Hashem for Simcha, even though.